What's shaking, Red Nation? It is Jeremy Brenner with another episode of The Dream Take, presented by the Dream Shake, home of all things Houston Rockets at SBNation.com. And tonight, we have another W-Pod on our hands. Yes, sir. Rockets win 112-106 against the Oklahoma City Thunder. No Jalen Green tonight. No Kevin Porter. No problem for our Rockets. Big win for these guys, two-game win streak. I mean, considering all the losing that was done in January, really nice to see how February begins, just how January ended with a win. And I'm convinced that this team is not losing for the rest of the season. You know, we've got, what, this is game number, what, 51, 52? We've got 30 or so games. I think a 30-game win streak is in the cards. What do y'all think? I mean, if they play the way they did tonight, I don't know if they'll beat too many of these other teams, but you played OKC, you knew where your strengths were, and you attacked it. And that is why the Rockets won this game tonight, out-rebounding them 65-52 and out-shooting them 43% versus 37%. Really strong defense tonight from the Rockets. That's something I don't want to just overlook. But before we do that, let's just look at this box score first of all. Eric Gordon, season high, 25 points. With no Jalen Green, no Kevin Porter, Eric Gordon has needed to step up, and step up he did tonight. Alperen Şengün returning from his illness, maybe not 100%, but and definitely not the best game we've seen from him, but 10 points, 12 boards, a team high plus 15. Definitely good to have Al P back in the lineup tonight. KJ Martin, also strong night for him, 18 points. Jabari Smith, 9 points for him. Dacian Nix, you know, the defense tonight from Dacian Nix is necessary as part of this discussion. Good defense from Dacian Nix tonight. I think that's ultimately why he's getting those starter minutes over Josh Christopher, Ty Washington, or any other candidate for those minutes. And I think tonight it really showed a plus 11 from him tonight. Josh Christopher, 11 points off the bench. Impressive night for him. But the guy that I think everyone should be talking about after this game is Tari Eason. A career-high 20 points in 19 minutes. 13 rebounds. Out of those 13 rebounds, this is not a misprint. This is not a typo. This is not a miscommunication. But 12 of those came on the offensive end. 12 of his 13 rebounds came on the offensive end. Granted, there was that one sequence where he missed about 4 shots in a row and hit the and one at the end. And that contributed a lot to those rebounds. But that sequence is something that you can use and show in film and keep showing that. If the team is struggling in rebounding, you point back to this clip and say, look, like you have it in you to rebound. You've got to do it. And this is also something that teams are going to start, other teams, when they're scouting the Rockets, they're going to say, look at that. Look at 17. Look at what 17's been doing. And the thing is, the Rockets are the best offensive rebounding team in the league for a reason. And that is something that should be on scouting reports whenever teams play the Rockets. I mean, there shouldn't be too much on that scouting report, but that should be one of them. You know, crash the glass, grab your rebound. The Rockets don't make a lot of shots, and they only made 7 threes tonight. Only 7 threes. 3 of them came from Eric Gordon. But yeah, the Rockets are able to generate second chance opportunities with these rebounds. And that's probably the one thing about this team that I don't have an issue with at all, is their effort on rebounding. And defense tonight, you know, we really do have to give them credit, because the last bit at the end where they pretty much shut out OKC for the last like 3 minutes in the game is quite impressive. And it's definitely a sign of growth. It's definitely a sign that this team is growing. This team is improving, especially on the defensive end. Now, the part that I guess I don't want to say concerns me, but I can't think of a better word at this point in time, is you didn't have Jalen out there. You didn't have Kevin Porter out there. You didn't have the guys that you're buying into in this rebuild out there on the floor tonight. And that goes to show you, like, are those two the problem on the defensive end? And look, again, problem is another word that I'm using just for lack of a better term. But you do have to take into consideration the defense is just magically better because these two are not there and these two are in their place instead, KJ and Dacian Nix. Dacian Nix has actually turned into a pretty, like, a serviceable defender. I'll say serviceable. So, yeah, I do think that is part of it. And so I don't want to use this game and say, oh, the defense is fixed. I need to see it more, and I need to see it with the people that we have more invested in on this rebuild. But good win tonight. Don't want to take anything away from the Rockets tonight. This is a good win for them. Probably, I don't want to say it's their best win of the season, but I definitely think it was better than the Detroit win. I'll tell you that. And considering the wins before that point, it's hard to remember at this point. But, you know, they've only got a handful of wins. 13, I think, was tonight. Tonight was win number 13 on the season. I mean, they've got some impressive wins. I think that, you know, their win against Philly was pretty impressive. The wins against Phoenix, I thought, were really solid. Milwaukee, you know, every win has been, you know, the Rockets have played well in. And we've seen some losses where they've also played well. But, you know, to see this, they've won 3 of 5 now. I think that's the first thing. I think that's like the first time they can say that, I guess, since that stretch in December where they won 4 of 7. They were at one point when they, from Thanksgiving to December 13th, They were 6-4. So that's probably your best stretch of the season, but this is turning into a pretty decent stretch. Now, you've got Toronto on Friday. That's another winnable game. You got to go play OKC again on Saturday. Considering how they played tonight, another winnable game for the Rockets. And you could really build something here. I mean, obviously, the season's over and all that, and you're kind of just playing these games just to play them. But it is nice to see some form of growth, especially with all of the losing that's happened. So I'm going to look at some comments here that are from the listeners tuning into us live on Spotify Live. Thank you to those who are choosing to listen to us live. Thank you to also those that are choosing to listen to us on demand. But if you want to ever come listen to us live, we are on Spotify Live. Download the app. Be sure to do so. And you could maybe come up and talk some Rockets with us or contribute into the comment section. So I've got Sean here. Sean, someone must have offered Nick's unlimited churros for his inspired defensive play. That was me, actually. I did offer Dacian Nix unlimited churros. Sean also mentions it's the most offensive rebounds in a game by a Rockets rookie since Hakeem Olajuwon. That is definitely a stat you want to write down for sure. For sure. So yeah, I love what we've got going here, with this group. Really, really excited to see what we had tonight. Now, I kind of want to transition because we are 1 week away from the NBA trade deadline. I will be going live at some point on deadline day, just before the deadline. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, last year the deadline was at 2 p.m. Central Time. And to this year, I'm not 100% sure. I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, it's the same time. So 2 p.m. Central is the deadline on Thursday, February 9th. And I will be live just before that to talk some trades and the aftermath of it all. So it's a very fun episode for everyone that can tune in to listen. I know it's at a weird time, but we do have listeners from all over the world. So it might be a great time for some listeners to tune in, a better time than where we usually go, just after these Rockets games go final. I'm going to bring up Adam for a quick speaker request. So let's hear what he has to say. Adam, welcome to the show. And thank you for giving my voice a rest. I need it.
No problem. Thanks for broadcasting after the game again. I wouldn't go as far to say that the Rockets got the Thunder's number, but they beat them both time this year. they definitely have some extra motivation, and there's kind of, I think some of it's the narrative around the rebuilding efforts that follow kind of a similar timeline. And obviously the Thunder have an accelerated rebuild than us, and a lot of stories going on. But games like tonight are a positive on a couple of different fronts. It's a positive that Eric Gordon, when he's properly motivated, still can play at this level and be a difference maker. And maybe his play over the last few games kind of inspires some teams to up their trade offers for the trade deadline for him. Maybe this gets a mid first round pick. I think that's possible based on how bunched up the West is, especially. But kind of, what do you think about?
Yeah, I think a lot. I read a tweet, a couple tweets actually, about people who think that Kevin Porter's absence is going to last until after the trade deadline, so they know what they can get from Eric Gordon, and it's kind of like Eric Gordon showcase week. And I can't confirm nor deny if that's actually the case. It could very well be the case, and if it is, then, you know, good on the rock. I mean, they clearly improved his stock tonight. 25 points a season high for Eric Gordon tonight. And, you know, this trade deadline is going to be it's tough to tell, because last year I thought things were going to be relatively quiet, and it ended up being the busiest trade deadline day in the history of the league. Now, considering the fact that so many teams in the West are close to each other, it's a lot of soft buyers, because you've got a lot of teams that are afraid to screw up what they have for fear that it will mess up the chemistry or just the status quo, and then they could drop in the standings. Or they could take a risk, and the risk can pay off. It's a lot of risk. There's a lot of risk involved for a lot of teams at this trade deadline. There's not teams that are hard buyers looking for guys. Like, if you're going to look for a hard buyer, got to look towards the Eastern Conference. And I think the Rockets have a couple of options in the East to trade Eric Gordon that I think would be more likely. You know, like, we've discussed Phoenix as like a destination for Eric Gordon for like 3 years now, but it now Phoenix doesn't look like they're going to be a huge buyer in this market, because they haven't performed very well. And they haven't performed very well because Devin Booker's been hurt for over a month, but he's starting to come back now. Chris Paul obviously hasn't been in the lineup either. Cam Johnson's been hurt. So it's definitely like an interesting spot. Like, I don't know. Like, do you have like on top of your head, like a potential landing spot that like definitely makes sense for Eric Gordon?
Any number of teams. I mean, there is a soft market, but you know, if you look at the inverse of it, what the third seed in the West to the 12th seed is separated by like four and a half games. You know, that's a good 2 weeks. You know, I think that might motivate some of these teams to maybe give up some assets in this kind of, especially if it looks like a competitor might be willing to, you know, to be a little bit more forceful than some others. But I think Eric Gordon could help, you know, the Lakers. They need shooting and they need defense. And I think, you know, Phoenix, obviously, but that'll kind of really be dependent on the new owner kind of taking hold here before the trade deadline and being able to kind of see where his head's at in terms of spending money and what their direction is for the next couple of years. But any number of teams, you know, even just to get him to stop him from getting someone else. I think the Warriors, you know, might be an option there as well. It seems like I think his skill set in this play, we've been down on Eric Gordon, but he still has game in him. I think he still has a good 2 or 3 years at a level where he could be a 15-point team scorer that can be a reliable defender. Dacian Nix, he played pretty, you know, his defense was, I wouldn't say impressive, but it was positive, especially in relation to what you probably would have gotten from Ty or Josh Christopher. But Eric Gordon, on the times that he was playing against SGA, like he stayed in front of him. He made him, you know, made him shoot kind of contested shots. You know, I think that was a positive. You know, there's not a lot of people that are at least this year, that have been able to make SGA work like that. Yeah, it definitely was.
The thing with Eric Gordon is his market was, I feel like, in the last couple of years, really specific. But now, because of just the nature of where the Western Conference is, and the East as well, like the East is also pretty jumbled, especially if you go like 7 to 11 or 12. It's probably a 3 or 4 game difference between making the play-in and not making the play-in. And so, you know, Denver is like, I kind of feel like at this point in the trade deadline season, we're kind of spitballing, and probably by early next week, you'll probably start to hear a little bit more clarity. But obviously, you know, Denver's been a hot topic with Bones Highland being out. Now, I think Bones Highland makes a lot of sense as like a potential, you know, hey, maybe we could really, you know, extract some positive development out of Bones Highland. But given where the Rockets are, like, is another point guard prospect what this group needs? And in fact, like, personally, I think that the Rockets should try to, in a weird way, be a buyer. I think it's similar to how the Warriors were buyers a couple of years ago when they were at the bottom of the league, but they traded for Andrew Wiggins, and that ultimately led them to a title. But I think, personally, the asset that I want to see traded the most, Adam, is the 2023 Milwaukee pick. I don't see how that pick has any value to the Rockets at this point when they can use that in a trade, maybe package him with Eric Gordon or not, but you can maybe get a legitimate piece that can help you next year. And I don't, and maybe they'll use that pick and they'll trade it in the offseason. I think that's a very possible scenario too, especially if the Rockets are truly serious about really getting out of the doldrums of the league next year. Using that pick to be a buyer at this market, and maybe you get a John Collins, maybe you get a Gary Trent from Toronto. Although Gary Trent is a free agent at the end of the season, so I don't necessarily love that fit, but if they were to find a way to, you know, make things work with Gary Trent, I wouldn't be opposed to it. But, you know, there's a lot of unknowns right now for the Rockets, and it wouldn't surprise me either if the Rockets kind of do what they did last year and just kind of sit and wait and kind of just maybe do what Daniel Tice did. And, you know, you send Daniel Tice to the highest bidder, and that could be Eric Gordon this year. But other than that, like, I really don't see anyone other than Eric Gordon getting traded.
I agree with you on that. I think, yeah, we saw that last year where they made the move for Tice and then eventually got, you know, Şengün, and, you know, they had a logjam of kind of bigs with Wood, you know, Wood, Tice, Şengün kind of competing for minutes. I think other than Gordon, and hopefully they're able to get something for that, you know, and maybe minimal, but they might just kind of lay in the weeds and kind of be like, you know, let's see how this year kind of ends up. Are we going to get the number one pick, the number two pick, a top five pick? That'll kind of inform them whether they're going to be targeting a point guard or a big. You know, I think there are a lot of decisions that need to be made, but they don't necessarily need to be made by the trade deadline. And I think that's probably how they're going to proceed, you know, be a team that's out there as a connector, as a third team to be able to maybe collect some more assets. That seems to be Stone's kind of MO, you know, over these last.
I could see them in, yeah, like three team trades using this Milwaukee pick to maybe get them a step closer to who they want. You know, if they were to trade, if a team needed a first round pick to give someone, maybe they say, hey, Houston, like, you know, help us out and we'll give you a future pick, or we'll get you a player that we don't want right now that might be like John Collins is probably the only player that I can legitimately think of at the moment or maybe even Jared Vanderbilt too. But the thing with Jared Vanderbilt and John Collins is, you know, it would take minutes away potentially from guys like Tari Eason. And after Tari Eason played the way he did tonight, I don't want anybody taking away minutes from Tari Eason that isn't already doing so.
Exactly. And like John Collins, what, at his, on his, at his peak, you know, he's averaging 7-8 rebounds a game. He's not a physical dude, you know, like, yeah, he's 6'9", but in many ways, like, you kind of have a John Collins archetype in a combination of the Rockets players already. And maybe, you know, you get John Collins, you're taking away from the development, the playing time from some of these young players. If there's something that kind of you can kind of extrapolate from these last few games, it's things are crystallizing a little bit in terms of who the Rockets really see as part of their future. Hopefully, you know, hopefully they see KJ Martin as part of their future. And I hope they get a deal done within the next, you know, year to tie him up. Cause I think, you know, through all the dysfunction that dude had to play through, and to see him succeed out there is really a positive sign. Cause it's not easy kind of being a young player in this organization over these last 3 years. And he's really a veteran on this team. Tari Eason has really, you know, kind of tonight was really good. Just kind of seeing him kind of display more kind of force and kind of, and just, you know, like he's just more out there kind of putting up shots, kind of being active. I wish that was more consistent with Jabari Smith, that, you know, Smith played a little bit more like Tari Eason in that way. You know, and Jabari Smith, obviously it's too early, but I think that's going to come around. I think that, you know, Jabari Smith probably just needs a better mentoring, coaching, kind of instruction, kind of positive reinforcement. I'm not sure what's going on there, but that's, you know, it's not disappointing, but the one thing that I really kind of, you know, got me excited about Jabari Smith was just how motivated, how much of a hard worker he was, how much, you know, so even when there was maybe a deficit in relation to, you know, Paolo or some of these other players, you know, you thought that he could make up that difference, and hopefully that still is the case. But I agree with you earlier as well on the KPJ point. He might be ready to go before the trade deadline, but I think they're seeing something here. I hope they see what we're seeing, that basically KPJ, he's not a dude that's going to shepherd your team and kind of keep turnovers low and play the way that a team needs to play in terms of as a point guard to kind of get everybody else involved. And I think his absence has been, for better or worse, has been a positive. You know, I don't know if they're regretting that deal. They haven't really committed that much to him, but who knows? Maybe he's part of a deal, you know, here at the trade deadline. Yeah.
If they were to trade Kevin Porter Jr. at the deadline, I would be very surprised. I think next year it might make a little bit more sense as a 2024 expiring, or someone that doesn't have any money guaranteed past 2024. I just don't feel like it's in the, I think they're going to give KPJ some run after the trade deadline or after the All-Star break for a month, see how he does in this month. And then, you know, because the thing is with the Rockets is they're positioning themselves to get as high of a pick as possible. And the way the draft is this year with two, you know, very solidified tiers before you even get to tier three, which, you know, and the Rockets could end up drafting the tier one guy in Wemby, the tier two guy in Scoot, or a tier three guy in one of the Thompson twins or Brandon Miller or whoever. You know, that's going to dictate so much of the future. So it's really hard to make any future decisions until we know that bit of information. And I think that is going to really, you know, push the Rockets. Like, that's the fork in the road. And the Rockets will then have to decide, you know, once they know that bit of information, how this team is going to be built long term. If Scoot Henderson comes in, that's definitely going to change Kevin Porter's role. If Wemby comes in, maybe that puts a little bit more responsibility on Kevin Porter to be the guy in as the point guard or a lead guard or whatever we want to call it. It's definitely going to change a lot. And Şengün's role has changed as well. KJ's role, everybody's role is going to change based off of who gets this pick. Maybe everyone except Jalen Green. Like, I don't think Jalen Green's role dramatically changes should Wemby or Scoot come in. But everyone else is going to have to adapt to that next pick, and they'll go from there. And I think, you know, the only thing the Rockets can really do at this point is help out other teams that will scratch their back in return with future assets or, you know, getting off of contracts. Like, that is what's going to be the Rockets' role at this deadline. So, Adam, I'm going to sign off here. Any last take before we sign off?
No, I appreciate kind of all the time you put into this, and thanks.
I appreciate it, Adam. Thank you. All right, I think this is a fabulous place to park the rocket ship. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of The Dream Take. We'll be back again on Friday. Rockets Raptors recap. Mike's got the show, so you'll hear from him. Saturday, we're back again. I will have Saturday's show. And then Monday, the Rockets play once again. And I believe Mike will have that show as well. On Monday, the Rockets play Sacramento. Who is it? Sacramento Monday and Sacramento Wednesday. And then on Thursday, February 9th, we'll be here on Spotify Live for our annual trade deadline episode. Super, super excited for that one. Be sure to tune in. We'll get you more information on the time of that show in the coming episodes and on our social media platforms. You can follow us on Twitter at The Dream Take and at DreamShakeSBN. You can also head to our Facebook page, give us a like over there, and head over to our website, thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets at SBNation.com. If you'd like to follow my personal Twitter, you can do so at Jeremy Brenner, JeremyBrenner. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this episode of The Dream Take. And until next time, go Rockets.